Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Georgia is Eric Grog. Eric is the Chief Compliance Officer for OrthoBank, which is a risk assessment and payment management provider specializing in payments for orthodontists, dentists, and others. Eric, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you, Adam. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you, and it's great that we're getting to explore an interesting topic. You and I were talking several months ago now, and you made a comment that I thought was really interesting. You were talking about making it the employee's compliance program. What do you mean by that?
Well, to understand that approach, you need to understand that my original background was in training and education. And one of the important principles in this area was helping students to understand the benefit of the material being taught. Or in other words, what's in it for me? And as I looked at that and apply it to compliance and ethics, I realized that's a whole new approach. Because by focusing on this approach, designing and implementing a program which is geared towards making employees feel that they are an integral part of the program and that their opinions and feedback are very important to us in the management of it, then we give them that buy-in, that what's in it for them. In other words, we want to move the management of the program from a board or a C-suite function down into the organization. In other words, flip the management of the program on its head.
Yeah, that certainly would be a definite flipping. So what are some of the virtues of this approach?
Well, since the first day I found myself immersed in the world of compliance and ethics because they asked me to join the SCCE, I've heard such catchphrases as the tone at the top and the message in the middle, meaning that the importance of having management buy-in is paramount. However, it seems odd to me that an assumption is made that if management's on board, then lower-level employees will automatically be as well. From my experiences as a corporate trainer, I spent a great deal of time talking to these lower-level employees during training sessions, and what might surprise many people in management is that a majority of these employees share a common perception that management usually has no clue about what it takes to conduct day-to-day business activities. In other words, and borrowing a tone from the military, these boots on the ground comprise a fairly cynical audience as it regards management's pet projects. And unfortunately, many of the persons I talk to feel this way about compliance. Basically, the only reason they have to do this is because management wants them to. By flipping the picture and helping all employees see what's in it for them, and by focusing on making them feel a sense of this ownership, it's been my experience that it's much easier to internalize the importance of your program.
Yeah, I think that would definitely make a lot of progress, and it's also, you know, a little disturbing knowing what the attitudes are so many employees to the management. Now, what are actions that the compliance team and management can do to help make employees feel this ownership?
Okay, just starting at the very beginning of most compliance programs is the company code of conduct. In many organizations, this document is written either by corporate counsel or by the compliance program, with an introduction by the CEO, and it almost reads like a legal document, such as a software end user licensing agreement. Employees are often expected to read the code, then attest in writing that they understand and agree to this code. When such a document is presented to most lower level employees, there might be a 50-50 chance that they understand what they're reading, but since it's a corporate thing, they just sign it and move on. If you ask them, they couldn't tell you anything that's in that code. In an employee-owned compliance program, you don't get lawyers or compliance to write the code. Instead, you organize a team of employees, the boots on the ground, and begin developing the sections of the code. By doing so, you ensure the team is creating something they believe in. The pride of ownership ensures that now you have a team of compliance champions who are willing to help everyone understand your code of conduct. This, in turn, internalizes the message contained within the code. And when it's time to review and or revise the code, you pull the team together and you walk through the modifications that might be necessary. By doing just these simple things, you can help employees feel that they have something that they can be really proud of.
Yeah, they'll definitely have a strong sense of ownership from all the work that they, of course, put into it. Okay, so what are some of the ways that you can even unintentionally subvert the goal and make it feel less like it's theirs?
The most difficult thing for many persons in management positions is to feel as if they're not in charge. I say that with a laugh because I've met a lot of managers and executives that it's their way or the highway. The sad thing is, if lower level employees begin to perceive that management is not listening to them, or even worse, that management is violating the core principles of the compliance program, you run the very real risk of them feeling as if it is just another corporate stunt. As a compliance professional, it's true that you are often the subject matter expert for the organization. However, that does not give you the right to downplay or ignore employee feedback. Every employee should feel they have a voice in the organization's compliance efforts, from the CEO all the way down to the maintenance trainees and janitorial staff. If an employee asks to speak to you, make time for them. If you can't talk to them immediately, make an appointment on your schedule with them. This will help illustrate that their opinion is important to you and by default to the organization. One of my former mentors taught me a lesson that I'll never forget. He said, "Whatever you do, you need to always treat everyone with respect, especially the staff. Keep the janitor or office staff happy, and you'll never have a bad day at work."
Well, good advice. Good advice. Now, how do you know when you've gotten to the place where employees truly feel ownership of the compliance program?
Oh, that's a good question. It's not an easy one to answer either. But I believe that when you reach the point that any employee in the company or in the organization feels comfortable dropping by your office and asking for your advice on a compliance issue, instead of submitting an anonymous hotline report, you're getting there. However, you know that you've achieved your ultimate goal when that employee tells you that they've thought of a better way to do something as it relates to compliance. This simple interaction shows that they consider the compliance program their program. After all, a program owner should always be looking for ways to improve it.
So, can you give us some examples from OrthoBank where employees have shown true ownership of the compliance program?
Oh, I can think of a lot of examples. For instance, I'll have an employee just walk by and see me at my desk. He'll walk in and close the door, and I know it's serious. And when he sits down, a lot of times it will be, "Did you know this is happening?" And it might be, "Did you know these file cabinets that have confidential information in them are being left unlocked?" And when I hear that, of course, my blood pressure goes up, my face gets red. Mm-hmm. And I say, "No, but I'll look into that." And in many cases, what they say is, "Now, just don't tell anybody I told you." And I told them, I said, "What? You're helping me do my job. That's great." But it's little things like that that just make me feel like I'm on the right track. We have another instance where we're such a small organization, we can't justify financially the cost of a hotline. So I created an anonymous form that they could submit to submit hotline reports and explained it to everybody. And during the meeting that we had, one of the customer service reps held up her hand. She said, "But if I submit this, you know who I am." And I said, I told her, I said, "Well, based on how you write it, I'll know who you are. I don't have to look, but I'm not going to do that. You have to trust me." So it's building their trust. And I'm very lucky in my organization that I've been able to do that. They trust me to follow up on anything that I tell them to do. If I ask them to do something for me, there's no questions. But the simplest way to sum it all up is my first day there, they told me about a problem with physical security, which unfortunately falls under my realm at our corporate organization. People would forget their ID badges at home, and they'd walk up and knock on the window and get somebody's attention, have them come open the door to let them in. And I stopped that the first day I was there. And I told them that anybody that did that would be in my office explaining why they did it. And I came down pretty hard on them. It woke them up. And now we have people who, if someone leaves their ID badge at home, they come to my office instead of HR and say, hey, you know, I left my badge. Can you help me? And, you know, I walk them through the procedure again. But now they're not afraid of me, but they know that I'm there to protect them. And that's my overall goal, is to help my employees understand I'm not the bad guy. I'm there keeping them safe. And that includes compliance. If we break a privacy regulation, it's going to hurt us all and or put us out of business.
Well, it's a great way to certainly change the dialogue and really do what I think every compliance professional wants, is to help people realize we're, you know, not there to stop business, but there to protect it. And certainly by having employees feel a sense of ownership, you go a heck of a long way towards that goal. Well, Eric, thank you for taking the time to share these insights and talk to us today. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.